Good evening again, everybody. If you missed my first welcome, welcome again to Holland Road Baptist Church. Again, my name is Jason, and I'm involved in the youth work here at Holland Road. And right now I'm going to be speaking to you about a passage in the Bible for about 15 to 20 minutes. You might want to sort of sit down on the floor rather than stand up. Your legs might get a little bit tired. So during these evening services, these encounter evenings, we're going to be going through a series based on our church values, which are going to appear on the screen. Following Jesus, reaching out, extended family, and everything in love. And that spells out free. So tonight we'll naturally be starting with the first one, following Jesus. But first I'm going to need my volunteer Sam, wherever he is. There he is. Thanks, Sam. Okay, so I've kind of given you a very brief, but I'm going to just give it to you again so everyone else knows what's going on. What I want you to do is follow me around as I walk around, copy every movement I make from down to the detailed finger movement, and just focus on me as you do that. So that's it. It's kind of like Just Dance, but just walk instead.
All right.
Right. Can you do that?
Yeah. Do you mean behind you?
Yeah, a few steps behind me. See how it goes. That one was a bit more painful. So for the people listening on the podcast, I'm now walking around the room, kind of crouching, spinning around, a little 180 there. What else can I do? A little bit of jump. That was good. Okay.
Thank you.
How well did Sam do?
Well.
Pretty good. Okay, so we're going to mix it up a little bit now. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the same thing, but this time, instead of focusing on me, I want you to focus on everyone else. There's going to be people doing really much more interesting things than what I'm doing. But you've still got to follow me and do what I'm doing.
Okay.
Are you ready?
So I'm just meant to do what I was doing with distractions.
Yeah. But don't focus on me. Whatever you do, don't focus on me, otherwise it won't work.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try again.
Right, Sam, how's it going?
Hello. Sam.
Sam,
how's it going?
Sam.
Hello. Ah, my leg. Over here.
Okay. How did that go? Was it not quite as good as last time? Thank you very much, Sam.
A bit more difficult.
So, yeah, the second time round didn't really work. So for the Christian, following Jesus can sometimes feel much more like the second one. It can sometimes be hard, especially when there's lots of other distractions around, like Gary shaking his Tic Tacs and things like that. Or maybe you're here tonight and you don't follow Jesus. And for you, sometimes it's hard to focus on the right thing. Maybe for you, it's finding that job that you desperately want. Or sticking to a diet. Or maybe it's revising or doing your coursework. So I remember when I was at uni a few years ago, before I was a Christian, anything and everything would distract me from doing my uni work. I remember there was this one evening where I really, really, really needed to get some work done. But I ended up spending about 3 hours having a pun off with someone on a friend's Facebook status. No work got done that evening. But anyway, let's see if Jesus gave us any advice recorded in the Bible. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 9, and we're going to look at a verse that talks about our topic this evening, following Jesus, and how to do that without being distracted. So if you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Everything's going to be up on the screen. It's already there. If you are a Christian in the room and you have a Bible with you, I'd recommend opening it up, maybe making some notes around it and things like that, or if you've got an app on your phone to do that. So here we go. I'm going to read verses 23 to 25. There's lots of good stuff in there, but we're going to focus today on just verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. But whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" I'm just going to pray right now. Father, thank you that we get to pray to you. Thank you for that amazing privilege. And I pray that you would help us as we look at this verse tonight. And I pray that you'd speak to each and every one of us here through it. Amen. So as I said before, take notes in your Bible or on a piece of paper or your BlackBerry, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever you've got. Research has shown that you're 34% likely to remember important information if you take notes, but only 5% likely to remember if you don't. But anyway, back to the passage. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. So I'm going to split that command up, and we're going to look at it piece by piece. But before we look at those very bold commands, I mean, denying yourself, that seems sort of quite big, doesn't it? I think we should look at who it is that's asking these questions and why he's asking them, and why we should even be considering listening to them. So these are the words of Jesus, a very important and real historical figure, of which there's huge amounts of evidence for. No credible historian, whether they're Christian or not, would ever deny that. So he's a real person that walked around with people, that wept, that cried. He went to parties. He spoke to crowds of thousands of people. He performed amazing miracles. He walked on a very stormy sea. He could stop storms in an instant, and he healed sick people. And then he chose to die a horrible death on a cross for us, for you, for me, for us in this room today, and billions of people around the world, all because he loves us so much. He chose to die so that we could be in a relationship with God the Father. But he was also raised from the dead 3 days later. He didn't stay dead. And he went to heaven, leaving his spirit to live in every Christian. So that's who Jesus is, not just an idea in a book or in a Bible app on your phone. Now, for anyone that has even the slightest curiosity about Jesus, one of the ways we help people explore who Jesus is at this church is through something called Alpha. So you might have seen the posters or flyers outside the church, this one here with the girl, looking under the bed. Basically, Alpha is a place to come and explore the meaning of life with friends over a free meal on a Monday evening. It runs for 6 weeks and starts on February the 18th. I did an Alpha a couple of years ago, and it kind of really helped me in my life. So in light of who Jesus is, let's start with the first part of the verse, deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? What did Jesus mean when he said, we must deny ourselves? Does denying ourselves mean basically living a really boring life? Does it mean not having any fun? Well, let's dig into it a little bit. So something called the Westminster Catechism, which is basically a big list of questions and answers about what Christians believe, says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So if we're going to follow Jesus, or if we're going to glorify God, Jesus himself here says to deny ourselves. But that's not like a dreary, horrible, boring thing he's asking us to do. It's something to help us enjoy him more, to help us draw closer to him. So did you know Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life to the full. Not, I've come so that you have to follow a load of rules that make your life really boring and stop you doing all the fun things in life. So Jesus is offering us life how it's meant to be lived. He's offering us a life not constrained by fear, a life not caught up with stress or worry, a life without a nagging feeling that there's just something missing. He's offering us life and life to the full. So following Jesus offers the freedom from these things that distract us from living life and life to the full. Now, a lot of Christians think that this is what the Christian life looks like. So they're at the center of their lives, with these other things out on the edge revolving around them. Maybe some of those things are money, which isn't a bad thing. Sex is there, which is a good thing to be enjoyed inside of marriage. Friends are there. Friends are really important. And God's there as well. He's on one of the rings. He's still important, getting some of the attention. But Jesus in this passage isn't saying that that's what following him looks like. He's saying it looks like this. So Jesus says to put him at the center of our lives, to put God on the throne in our lives, and have all those other good things, friends, money, sex, and yourself, have all those other things revolving around him whilst he's at the center of your life on the throne. So denying ourselves means letting go of the reins of our lives and handing them over to the all-loving, all-powerful creator of the world who's got a much better idea of what to do with them than we do. It means getting life and life to the full. So denying ourselves doesn't mean having no fun. When we truly follow Jesus, when we have a really big view of who he really is, Our hearts are changed, and we find joy in so many more things in life because of our connection to him. And that doesn't mean that the only things that Christians find fun are, for example, embroidery, quiche, and sitting around in circles. I've got a friend who finds huge amounts of joy in God through windsurfing, because it's something that he does that brings him closer to God as he enjoys the world around him that God's made. So that's the first part of Jesus' command, deny yourself. So what in your life is Jesus asking you to surrender control of? Now what about the second part? Take up your cross daily. What does that actually mean? Well, back in the day, back in Jesus' day, the cross was a well-known sort of cruel torture killing device, kind of like a much more violent electric chair. So taking up your cross meant you'd be expecting some kind of persecution. So in those days, the persecution really did mean the risk of death, which is kind of what makes Christianity even more compelling, that a small group of people 2,000 years ago were so certain of the truth that they were spreading that they were willing to do it even though they could be killed for it. Death didn't matter to them at all. Now today, for us in Britain in 2013, we're not really persecuted for our faith. The worst most of us will ever get is kind of a few people taking the mick out of us. Now that doesn't mean that's not a bad thing that's happening to us. It doesn't mean that we don't really suffer from that. I've experienced that in my life, as I'm sure most of us have. I've experienced people that don't like my faith in Jesus. But Jesus was the most holy, most perfect person that ever lived. And people didn't get on with him. People didn't get on with him to the point where they got him crucified. So if some people can't get on with Jesus, who's the most holy, perfect person that ever lived, then there's going to be people that won't get on with me, because I'm definitely not perfect by a long way. There is a growing trend in this country of people that make a stand against things in line with what Jesus taught and then go on to lose their jobs or have some kind of effect on their jobs. So, for example, the four people that went to the European Court of Human Rights at the end of last year, if you've heard about those. But these people, the ones who lost their jobs for their faith, they're the ones that took Jesus' command to take up their cross daily very seriously. They weren't willing to lie about their faith or forget about their faith or even minimize it or do things that would go against what Jesus taught, even if it meant persecution for them. But what about the rest of us? What does that mean for kind of us in our schools, our universities, our workplaces tomorrow morning? Well, Jesus, at the very least, wants us to be open about our relationship with him. And he knows that some people sometimes aren't going to like that. So I remember when I first became a Christian a couple of years ago, I was really, really scared of letting people know. I used to sneak out of my flat really early on a Sunday morning to come to church and kind of hope that my flatmate wouldn't sort of suspect that that's where I was going. I used to make sure that my Bible was hidden away in my room, and I would make sure that you never could hear me praying. And looking back on that now, it's kind of quite silly. He knew I was going to church, so I didn't have to sneak out. He knew I had a Bible, so of course I'd read it. And of course I'd actually talk to God. And it took me nearly a couple of months, I think, to overcome that. And when I did, my friends then, he didn't ridicule me, or he didn't want to not be friends with me anymore. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." So every now and then, I do have a certain few friends that will make some kind of unpleasant or sarcastic comments about my faith. But in the face of anything like that, or anything worse, it's good to look at the eternal picture. It's good to look at heaven. It's good to look at where we're going to spend eternity as Christians, because eternity is way, 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 way longer than our time in this life. And heaven, of course, is going to be amazing and perfect. So taking up your cross daily means not hiding your faith or ignoring Jesus to make your life easier for you. But it means standing up for what you believe, following Jesus' teaching, even though some people might not like it. So in light of the first two parts of Jesus' command in our passage today, to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily, what does it mean to follow Jesus? So in light of putting Jesus on the throne in your life, letting God be in control, and you doing what he wants you to do. And even though some people won't like it, what does it mean to follow Jesus? How do you put him at the center of your life? How do you know what he wants you to do? How do you actually hear him? Well, remember the illustration we did right back at the beginning, where the wonderful Sam had to follow me and do everything I did? And the first time, when he focused completely on me and nothing else, it all went okay. But as soon as he focused on the other kind of seemingly more interesting or distracting things, then he really struggled to follow me. It was kind of obvious, but it's the same with Jesus. When we focus on him, it's much easier to follow him. So we're only going to be able to hear what God is saying if we're close to him, if we're talking to him. And we'll only know what he's already commanded in the Bible if we're actually reading it regularly. So our passage today talks about taking up your cross daily. But there's also something really significant about building in daily rhythms of seeking God. One of the things God teaches us in the Bible is to pray without ceasing, or to pray continuously. And the other day he gave me a helpful illustration of what this kind of might look like when I was meeting up with one of our students. So this is how my life was at one time, and I'll be honest, still is sometimes now. So I'd wake up in the morning, have my shower and breakfast, and I'd have this nice chunk of time with God where I'd maybe, I don't know, sing some songs to him or read my Bible and pray. And then I'd go to work, I'd do the rest of my day, get to the end of my day, have my evening, brush my teeth, etc. And then have a little quick chat with God at the end of the day and then go to bed. But I found that this only really let God operate inside his box in the morning, in his little box at the end of the day. So this is kind of what I try and do now. I still wake up, which is good. It's good to wake up in the morning. I still have a shower and breakfast because I don't want to smell and I want to put food in me. But God's there with me when I do that. I might sing him a song in the shower, maybe. And I don't do that because I have to. Or I don't sing him a song because if I do, then my day's going to go better. I would sing him a song in the shower because I love God and I just want to sing his praises. But then I've still got my kind of chunk of focus time on God. And then I bring him to work with me. And then maybe there'll be these bits in my day where it's harder. So that's what these little dips are. Maybe when someone says something horrible to me or someone lets me down or the computer breaks or something like that. And when those things happen, that's when I lean on God and kind of ask him to help me out. So I'm polite to the rude person in God's strength. I'm patient with the person that's let me down in God's strength. And I just ask God what I should do, and then he speaks. And then when I'm walking closely with him, I can hear him. It's great. Now, there is grace in this. God still speaks to us when we forget to speak to him. I still forget to speak to him sometimes. And he does that because he cares about our hearts. He cares about our motives and our attitude way more than he cares about like what we do. What we see Jesus doing regularly is getting up early and going and spending time alone with God in prayer. And not because he feels he has to, but because there's a relationship there, because he wants to. So if the band could start making their way up now. It's our responsibility to essentially fill up on Jesus, to be enjoying him, as we saw from the Westminster Catechism. The Bible says that where God is, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy. But we often then experience that. The Bible says our problem is that we're too easily pleased. We often look for bits of joy in other things, even though Jesus has the fullness of joy to offer. So Jeremiah 2:13, which is a passage in the Bible, it says that we've given up the living water, Jesus, and we've instead dug up broken cisterns. So this is why we often lack complete joy, because we've filled ourselves up on things, on other things. We've drunk from broken and cracked cisterns. We try to find joy in maybe reading the news in the morning, or by having a clean house, or by getting all our essays and homework in on time, or by posting something on Facebook and making sure that people like it lots. And those things aren't bad, but they're not the true source of joy. Jesus is. So how do you follow Jesus? Josh could just build an atmosphere. So how do you follow Jesus? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. You put him at the center of your life. You follow him even when it seems like it might be the harder option, and you lean on him. If you're in this room today and you've never followed Jesus and you want to, there's no pressure. There might be just one person in this room for who that's true. And if you think that might be you, then I'm talking to you right now. If you've never followed Jesus before and you'd like to, just echo this prayer in your heart. Everyone's going to bow their heads now, so no one has to see you doing it or anything like that. Father God, I'm sorry that I've never put you first. I'm sorry for all the bad things that I've done in my life. I want to turn away from that. I want to invite you into my life. I want to follow your lead in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for what happened on the cross. Even if I don't fully understand all of the small details, I know it means I can have a relationship with you. And that's what I want, Jesus. Thank you.